Hey there. Have an idea for a future episode? Share your idea with us at bit.ly/askscrumsup. That's bit.ly/askscrumsup, all one word. Not only might your suggestion become a future episode, but each month we'll pick a random entrant as the winner of a limited edition 2 Scrums Up t-shirt. That's bit.ly/askscrumsup. Go there today.
Hey everyone, welcome to the 2 Scrums Up podcast. This is a podcast by Ali.co. We are a fully distributed web agency. We've been running Scrum for several years now. We've got some successes and some failures to share with you to help you along in your Scrum journey. My name is Ken Medley. I am an agile process leader here at Ali, and I'm joined by my friend and co-host, Mr. John Ragazine.
Yep, that's right. Thanks, Ken, very much. My name is John Ragazine. I am the Director of Agile Process here at Ali. And today on the podcast, we want to talk about Scrum outside of the work setting, Scrum at home. We were very fortunate to be joined by the incredible Chief Operating Officer of Ali, Mrs. Bridget McNulty, who walked us through her 2 years of experience operating as a Scrum team in her household. It's her, it's her husband, it's her mom, and they work Scrum, they do sprints, they get stuff done, and it's been really eye-opening to talk to her about this. I had a really great time talking with her, and I hope that you have a great time listening. Ken, are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Fireworks! Monster truck!
Sunday!
Blue Angels!
So, Bridget, at Ali, obviously, you know, we use Scrum. We love it. We talk a lot about it. But the idea is really about just getting stuff to a point of finished. And here in our, you know, world, we use it for software projects all the time. However, what's fun about this episode is we're going to talk about using Scrum in a non-software setting. And you have a lot of experience with that. So if you wouldn't mind, share with us a little bit about your role here at Ali, how you kind of saw Scrum come to be, and then what made you want to start using Scrum in areas outside of work?
So we've been trying to do Scrum at Ali for a while, but back in 2018, we made a concerted effort to really make this happen and make Ali have stable teams to really be able to actually implement Scrum in an effective manner. And there was a lot of excitement at that time around Scrum. Bringing it to Ali felt like there was a lot of momentum around it. And I was just very excited about getting to bring that to Ali, educate people internally on it. And then that quickly led to wanting to talk about it outside of work as well, which is where it then started to creep out into other areas of my life, mainly just my home life. So just back to when we were first implementing Scrum back in the beginning of 2018, I was talking to my husband a lot about it, just letting him know this is this thing we're doing. This is something that we'd both been aware of. We're both in the software world, but it wasn't something that either one of us had done purely, like pure Scrum, really having that opportunity. So I was excited again that we were doing that at Ali. So I kept talking to him about it and more and more, and I just wouldn't stop. And I'm not the type of person where I just wanted to like talk at him. I wanted to like talk about it with him. So we started to really get into little details around Scrum, like talking through it. And we had tried a whole bunch of other stuff at home. I'm very goal-oriented and wanted us to, you know, have to-do lists and stuff like that where we would accomplish things around the house. Right. And all of those things just, they failed in different ways. Like, we tried so many different things to actualize, you know, that constant progress that I wanted us to be having. And until I came across this, like our pure implementation of Scrum that we were doing at Ali, I didn't quite realize that maybe Scrum could work at home also. Maybe there was a way to apply that to my endless to-do lists, which always accumulated more dust, it seemed, and stuff was not quite getting done. And it also didn't quite work for how we wanted to work. We wanted to have room for the regular stuff that you just have to do all the time, the one-off stuff that comes up, and then bigger stuff that also comes up. So again, it just felt like there were more and more parallels to what I was learning about Scrum, how we were implementing it at Alley, and what that could really look like for our home life. And the more we started to talk about it, the more I started to educate him about it. It was like, why not? Like, why not try this at home and actually start sure. some weekly sprints to see what that could look like? And it just kind of took off from there. And that was about 2 years ago at this point that we started in on this, a bit after Allie's journey started, our own, you know, Scrum at Home journey started as well.
Wow. So with 1 week sprints, are you saying that you have over 100 sprints closed out in your home backlog if they're 1 week long?
Yeah, minus we have taken two separate periods of our life off from it. But besides those two, like, sections, of, like, they were, I say that because it was like a chunk of weeks in a row at two different yeah. points. So that does, like, it did reduce the sprints, obviously, since we don't have every single week filled out. But yeah, it's close. I would say, I think it's actually right under 100 at this point with those two chunks of time taken out. Yeah.
That's fantastic. Wow. Who's on your Scrum team, your home Scrum team? Is it you and your husband?
Yeah, that's what it started as. It started as just myself and my husband, and he is the Scrum Master and I am the product owner. We started that out actually as, well, I was a Scrum Master at work for a very long time, and I was the one talking, like, to all the Scrum Masters about what we were doing. And I was like, I don't want to do this. I do this all the time. I want to do the other role, the product owner role, which I was newer to at that point in time. And it seemed like also a good way for him to better understand some of the Scrum basics if he had to, you know, help to enforce them, basically, and really help to understand them. So it started with just the two of us, and then just within the last 6 months or so, we've added my mom to the team as well. So she's our first, like, you know, team member, basically. And I got to say, when we added her to our team, our velocity skyrocketed, and it's been tough to keep up with ever since, thanks to her.
You know, we're talking about Scrum at home, right? And what are some, like, tangible things? Like, what does that mean? Like, Scrum, like, do you have tickets on a board somewhere? Do those tickets consist of, like, take out the trash, mow the grass, or is this for, like, more like home remodel type stuff? Like,
it's for it all. And that's actually one of the reasons that Scrum really felt like it was going to work for us. On a traditional to-do list, and yes, there's plenty of different, you know, to-do list tools out there that handle things differently, but we really wanted something that, as I was saying before, like, had just the day-to-day recurring stuff that you needed to just keep track of and make sure was happening. The random one-off, like, bills or whatever that you have to pay that you need to make sure is happening as well. And then, like you just asked about, like, bigger projects that also, like, bigger, like, home projects that we might have, home improvement projects, whatever they are. We wanted a way to keep track of all of that, and that's exactly what we do. So our implementation of Scrum has definitely changed since the beginning. When we first started about 2 years ago, we tried a physical board. We were like, okay, we're going to do it. We're going to, you know, have cards. We're going to stick them on the board. We're going to move it along. Like, it's going to be we're in the same place. We have this opportunity, which, especially from being at Alley, we didn't have that opportunity to all be in the same place. So why not try that aspect of Scrum? Why not get to actually experience that? But quickly, very quickly, that just became so tedious for us. We had so many tasks that we were trying to keep track of each week that it actually felt like it was getting in our way to have that physical board. And perhaps that was our own implementation of it, but we viewed that as a blocker and we needed to get around it. You can never let the process get in the way of the stuff getting done. And we felt that was happening at that time. So then we had a ticket, of course, to do a bit of research, and trusty Scrum Master husband, he found a tool that we could use that would enable us to have our tickets online, you know, have a tool that we would both be able to log into, keep track of stuff, and easily clone sprint over sprint, which was kind of key for us with having lots of just day-to-day recurring things that we wanted to keep track of. So we found this tool called Vivify Scrum, which there's a free version and you could pay for it as well, but it has a solid base of features for Scrum that we felt worked well for, you know, what we wanted to do. So in this tool now, it's actually also gone through iterations, how we've interacted with the tool itself, how we track our tickets, and what really makes sense. Because once you have the tool, sometimes you go towards, well, we're going to break it down to, you know, such a degree where everything is like broken down so granularly. But again, the process can quickly get in the way. So we've iterated on it a bit to make sure that what we have in there captures what we need to do. But, you know, the actual creation of those cards, tickets, doesn't actually get in the way of us getting the stuff done. So we have a set of things that basically they recur every week and we need to keep track of them. We have a set of things that recur or perhaps have certain due dates that we need, know we need to slot maybe into a certain quarter, a certain month, a certain week. Sure. And then we also have those bigger projects that we're able to then actually break out and do a little bit of like backlog refinement for, really figure out what are the various pieces of, you know, we wanted to... at the very beginning stages at this point of remodeling a portion of our home and had initial cards or tickets in the system to contact the architect. And then we were working with contractors and then there was a pandemic. So it's all on hold, but that's what we will use in order to actually like get through that project and to, you know, help keep ourselves organized and hopefully help to keep it on track.
Yeah. I love what you said. Don't let the process get in the way of getting stuff done. That's such a key component of Scrum. Like if it's not working, throw it out. Physical board didn't work. Figure it out. Find something new.
Yeah. It's about iteration in every aspect, including with the process itself. It's, you know, those little Kaizens that we chose to, that's what we dug into. And that's what we wanted to make better for ourselves because we know about ourselves enough that if the process gets in our way, we're not going to have it. It's not going to work. Like it's not going to work for us and it's going to fall by the wayside. And we didn't want that for another process, another thing that we were trying. I didn't want it to just be another to-do list that gathered dust. And we just didn't, we just couldn't keep up with it for whatever reason. So yeah, iterating it and really bringing that mentality of iteration, agile, just that whole mindset to this process, I think has really helped us because even in those times where I said we had to take those breaks, like that was the iteration we had to make at that point in time in our lives. And we were okay with that and knew that we'd be able to pick it up when we were ready to do so again. So that has worked out as well. A certain roll with the punches kind of mentality as well.
That's really interesting. You know, people over process. And it reminds me of, you know, some of our own learning that we did as part of developing this podcast itself, because I thought it'd be really smart to have the life cycle of a topic list broken out into subtasks. So you'd have a topic and then you would be like, okay, editing, musicking, mastering, booking, scheduling this, and everything was a subtask. And what happened was all of a sudden, Ken got like 372 emails in his inbox, when I started making tickets and whatnot. Yeah. Which was not good for him. And it's just not good in general. You know, it became overly onerous. We had a lot of kind of orphan tickets that didn't need to go anywhere. So not being afraid of changing your process is pretty important, especially at home. Like this is supposed to be helping you all out. It shouldn't be a second job. You know what I mean? Like getting stuff done at home is hard enough as it is. What type of cadence and what's your process in at home of refining your backlog?
Sure. So I mentioned we do weekly sprints and I was actually thinking a bit about what our rituals look like for that, because I will say they're much more informal than at least what they are at Alley. Sure. But for, I would say we do more of a combined backlog refinement and sprint planning weekly. Typically, our sprints go from Sundays to Saturday. That's the way that we have decided to, you know, that's the week. But we decided to actually, we've tried actually different things. We did try, I think, a Wednesday to Wednesday. I think we tried a Monday to Sunday. And finally, we've, you know, adjusted to Sunday to Saturday. So that was an iteration in and of itself. But typically on Sundays, we will plan for our sprint. And during that time, we'll refine any backlog that's necessary. I guess the good and bad thing in some ways about having a lot of recurring stuff is in some ways that just populates your sprint for you, the stuff that you just know you have to do every single week. So that there's a whole chunk of stuff every week that we just know that's just the baseline. What are we adding on top of that? What is the other stuff that we also need to do? And then trying to like actually work through that. And then we do pointing. We definitely point stuff together as well. And we utilize our single reference story in order to do all applicable pointing off of that. So we do that during sprint planning / backlog refinement. And then if something comes up during the week that we need to take from the buffer, because yes, we have a buffer, then we would also point that together as well using our single reference story to do so.
Has there been any kind of dissension or spirited debate over the story. Because when you have a team of, you know, seven and you have a bunch of story points laid out, you kind of can see a majority. When it's two or three people doing the pointing, I imagine there must be some hard-fought conversations. But, you know, I would love to hear about that.
So actually, that was one thing that I was also thinking about, and it's been shockingly easy. No conflicts, I would say. I cannot recall a time where we were beyond one Fibonacci number away from each other when we were pointing something. Our pointing is incredibly consistent, like almost to a scary degree, where we're able to point things like together. And again, we're usually pointing literally. We are landing on the same number. We'll just like hold up our fingers or something, just like very basic because we're sitting in the same room. I do have the scrum cards. We've used that, like especially at the beginning, we would play around with those just to, you know, again, get that opportunity in a physical setting to do that. But very rarely, actually, has there been a huge discrepancy in pointing. And I guess just thinking about a little bit more, when there has been, it's been due to absolutely a lack of refinement of the task, a lack of understanding over what that task was, which is what we realized pretty quickly. And then we're like, okay, no, we need to further define what this is or break it out. And then it's much clearer what the points are. So, those discussions, which I would say are pretty infrequent, but when they do happen, they allow us to get a lot of clarity, I think, up front, which is, you know, the promise of Scrum anyway and what we hope for. But I really do see it happening in even our home setting as we talk through working through things.
That's awesome. Like, it's cool to talk about this because I know Scrum obviously used for software projects. And we had a conversation with JJ Sutherland a few weeks ago where we talked about, you know, Scrum being used for like manufacturing fighter jets and submarines, all kinds of cool stuff, you know, and then here we are talking about using Scrum in a home environment. My question though, like, so you have sprint planning, backlog refinement, you know, you have these meetings. What does a demo look like in the McNulty household?
So that's a great question. And I was actually talking to my husband about this earlier, like what would we say like some of our rituals look like? And he actually said, you know what, we don't really have a demo. And I'm like, our demo is our life. Like, we're living it. Like, it is like the representation of us surviving each day and like what we've accomplished that day. Like, it really is just like what's around us. And in some ways, it's not like we have a formal daily stand up, but we talk to each other every day about what we're doing. We both know what's in the sprint. We're both responsible for everything in the sprint as it should be. So there is just that constant line of communication that's occurring. But yeah, the demo is our life. Like, it literally is just like what happens around us. Yeah
you're just like scoreboard.
So are you doing your stand-ups like over lunch, you know, at the kitchen table, just kind of casually talking? Are you I guess how much of it is structure and how much of it is just like the natural ebb and flow of a household in conversing and talking about like what you did that day?
That's a great question. I would say it has absolutely changed over time. So at the beginning, when we were first implementing it, it felt a lot more structured. We were having, it would be 9 p.m. every night. We would have that discussion and we were really like trying to like work through like what Scrum was. We were, you know, learning from each other basically as we talked through these various concepts. And over time, as we've become more comfortable, I would say, you know, go back to what I think about a lot with Scrum, like the shuhari. And it feels like we have progressed through that to the point where, you know, we're probably at re in some ways in our household implementation of Scrum. And yeah, it is just kind of the everyday ebb and flow of the household has just meshed with our implementation of Scrum, where it doesn't have to feel like an excess thing. Whereas at the beginning, it definitely was. Like, it definitely was this other thing we were learning, this other thing we were bringing into, you know, our everyday lives. And I think that has become, like I said, just a lot more integrated into our lives in a way where it doesn't feel nearly as structured as it used to, but it still exists. It is still happening. It's just happening in like, yeah, a more unstructured format in some ways, but we still have tickets. We still have our sprints. Like, that piece hasn't left.
So you mentioned earlier on, like, you tried all sorts of like different to-do apps and, you know, probably sticky notes and all this kind of stuff. Right. But how does it feel like looking back now, you've been doing Scrum in your house for like 2 years. How does it feel now? Like, when you look back, do you feel more accomplished in your life? Like, do you feel like, man, I get stuff done now that I didn't back then? Or do you feel like, oh, this is just an extension of work almost? Like, how does that play out, like, with you personally, like, in your feelings on a day-to-day basis?
I definitely think it allows me to, you know, achieve what I want to achieve in a way that feels sustainable. And I think that's one of the key words about Scrum that I think about a lot, is that it's a sustainable way of working. And I know at times for my husband and myself, when we would be, you know, working through these to-do lists, it's just that never-ending backlog. That's how it's structured. Like, that's basically how you're thinking of things. Even if you have a to-do list that lets you put, like, well, it's this day or this week or this month, like, it still just becomes this never-ending backlog because you're not just being intentional with your planning of how things are actually happening. So I do feel it has allowed us to, I think, both feel like more accomplished. Like, we're both getting things done at a pace that we feel is, like I said, sustainable and reasonable. And even though it's not like a primary word that I associate with Scrum, like, it does enable us to have the control we need of our household to make sure that, like, everything's on track, which I think was easier to fall through the cracks before. Like, just little things, you know, having a house, there's just a lot of stuff that goes into it. And I think being able to have that sense of, again, I hate to use the word control when I think about Scrum, but it does enable us to have that full picture of things and that sustainable way of working through it, the clarity to understand what actually needs to happen. It's all of that stuff, which I really think it's given us in a different way than we were able to achieve with, again, just those never-ending backlogs, basically, that we had before.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of the things that always kind of stressed me out about having a to-do list app, was that it would just be this list forever and I could break it out, you know, artificially, but it just sort of is all there. And I may want to do something that's not at the top of the list, but I'll be like, but it's just a list, so I'll just do it. It's not prioritized necessarily. But that kind of leads me to my next question for you, Bridget. I guess, you know, one of the things that we deal with at work using Scrum is that priorities can change. Or there's so much that has to get done that some things have to get bumped or you have to flex to try to fit it in. So I guess I'm wondering, like, has there been a time that you could tell us anecdotally where, like, a priority has changed mid-sprint and you had to adapt to it? Or, like, the other like addendum to that is just, if you don't have enough room in the sprint, like, you can't not, like, take the garbage out. You know what I mean? Like, you can't be like, well, we'll just take it out next week. Like, you might, I hate that when we, you know, when we have, like, recycling every other week and it gets too much. There's too much of it going on. So, I guess, sort of, like, how do you handle those things? And is there an anecdote you can tell us about a particularly, you know, tough moment with that?
Changing priorities over time. Well, I mentioned one before. We had the home remodel. We felt we were, you know, actually had a little bit of momentum. We worked with an architect. We were going out and, you know, contacting contractors. We were, like, kind of in that stage. And then all those tickets just were not necessary anymore. That is on hold very much at the moment, due to just the state of the world, and us not being able to wrap our brains around a home remodel at the moment. So that was a changing priority where there was all of a sudden time to do different stuff. Mid-sprint, I really think most of the changing priorities, at least at this point, we are handling on the buffer. We have a, like I was saying, like a 5 or so point buffer. It's a healthy buffer at this point.
Do you ever, like, close tickets in your backlog? Like, if you're like, hey, let's repaint the bathroom. And then you're like, actually, you know what? I think I like that color in the bathroom. You know, let's leave it.
There's definitely, I really should have went and, like, looked through some of the stuff that we had closed out, because there actually has definitely been stuff that we have created, thought we were going to do it, and then been like, no, like, that's just not something that we're going to pursue anymore. Yeah, again, I can't think of one, like, off the top of my head, but those are important decisions, like, to actually, again, make, like, actually get to do that, take a scan through the backlog regularly, and actually get to decide, like, this is not something that we ever plan on doing at all.
That's probably, like, just healthy for your relationship. You know, if you're thinking, well, I thought we were going to paint the bathroom this week, you'd be like, what are you talking about? I made up my mind weeks ago. I'm not painting the bathroom.
As you can,
you know,
see, we decided together like 7 weeks ago.
Yeah, it does allow for, again, going back to that word clarity, it allows for a lot of clarity in our, like, yeah, what our expectations are, like, what we want to get done and what we actually reasonably think we can get done.
Do you ever have to have, like, realistic conversations like, I know you're full of, like, energy right now, but the reality is, like, come on, I don't think you're going to get all of that done this week.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I think we both have to kind of keep each other in check in different ways. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why, we try and balance each other in the roles, like the Scrum Master and Product Owner role as well. But yeah, there's definitely times where, you know, I get really ambitious about something and think we can do a million things, or vice versa. And we have to, you know, remind the other person and help keep them in check, because it has to remain a sustainable way to work. We can't let ourselves burn out a few weeks, because, I mean, we talk about this at Alley all the time, like burnout is a serious thing, and burnout can absolutely occur at home. So I think like making sure to like balance that out and not like overrun ourselves is really important as well. This gives us that clarity and understanding to, you know, make a decision. Okay, we have this critical stuff that needs to get done, but maybe this will be a lighter week. Like, that's where we are, like, at our, like, mentally this week. And we can make those decisions because, you know, we don't have a bunch of clients or a bunch of users who want to use our product or buy our services or anything. So we have that luxury to, yes, be guided by our yesterday's weather and use it as a guide, but we can also, you know, vary things as needed as life occurs, basically.
Does your husband use Scrum at his work?
Yes, actually, after we first started talking a lot about it about 2 years ago, and we first started using it at home, he then brought it to his workplace as well. Because I think, again, it was something we were both very excited about and thought that it could make a difference. Like, I think it can make a difference. Like, I really believe in any setting, as we're talking about here, obviously. It doesn't just have to be a formal work setting. You can apply this to many different things. So he has brought it to his workplace, and he does, at times, get the opportunity to be a part of Scrum teams.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's good to hear. You know, I'm still kind of stuck on this interplay of USPO and your husband as SM. You know, as an SM here, I know that I'm trying to facilitate removal impediments, you know, getting blockers out of people's way to be as efficient as possible. And at work, obviously, that could be like, I need more information, or I can't log into this thing, or like the client needs to get back to us, or whatever the, you know, minutia is. I imagine it's different with Scrum at home. So I guess if you could share some of those like impediments that needed to be removed, that maybe how you all helped each other out, that would be really interesting, beyond avoiding burnout, obviously, which is a huge, huge issue.
Sure. One of them we've already talked about, which is just like iterating through the process pieces of things, like how we were actually implementing that. I feel like, especially he as the Scrum Master, played a huge role in that, like just our iteration through the tools that we were using, like to get to the point and to the setup that we were like getting to the point of having a tool that we had tickets in that we could easily clone. Like that whole process was removing a series of blockers from us, because like, I kid you not, the first implementation was us with sticky notes and they just kept falling off the board we put them on, and it was just a disaster because we didn't know what was to do or in progress. Like, it was that, like, just basic. And we were like, okay, this is like the silliest impediment, but this is an actual issue. Like, if we don't fix this, like, this is never going to work for us. So I really feel like a lot of the impediments that we've had to address were on the process side to actually, like I've been talking about, get this to be so integrated with our lives that it was like a more seamless thing, basically. So I feel like, again, a lot of the impediments were definitely on the process side. And then there's also just, I think about my own team at Alley and how we all have different strengths and weaknesses, and how we try and in some ways make sure our sprints or even a particular ticket, a particular task, a particular goal, like you try and leverage like people's skills that make sense for that. So there's some things that I don't want to do. Like maybe I don't want to call someone up and contact, like that's a little blocker that I might have for a ticket, and he gets to step in, and maybe he doesn't want to do a different type of work and I get to step in. So I also think just like leveraging each other's strengths and weaknesses in different ways. And perhaps that's not direct impediment removal, but I think that's just like really leaning on ourselves as a Scrum team to help each other get stuff done, and not allow either one of us to be a blocker for ourselves, which I think is all too common when you're not thinking about things as a team. When you're just thinking of going through a to-do list, you might not think like, let me collaborate on all these things. It's again, just a different mindset with Scrum versus working through a traditional to-do list. At least it has been for me. I think about things very differently, how I want to approach them. And I think that's helped both of us out, how we approach what we're actually doing.
Another one of the things that I know that we talk about a lot at work is the concept of eating the frog, where you want to get the least appetizing or least enjoyable task out of the way as early as possible in the sprint. Do you think that you have kind of one of those recurring items that is your frog, and does your husband have the same?
A recurring one.
It could be anything, but I feel like recurring, because there's things that is there's housework, and there's things around the house that I actually love to do. Like, I love to vacuum. I don't know why. I think it's just sort of like a completionist type thing, but I absolutely love vacuuming, but I absolutely hate, cleaning the mirrors in the bathrooms in the house or whatever. So I'm just wondering, like, if there's those things that, like, you're like, oh no, I have to do it again, but okay, let's get it over with. That's what I'm really curious about.
Yeah, gotcha. You mentioned recycling before, which is like, it's a process. And that's one of his where I would say, like, he would try and avoid that, and I have to, like, you know, push perhaps a little bit more. And for me, I mean, it's usually like tedious, like all the stuff that I do at work, I don't want to do at home. So like, right. Like even just like tedious organization of stuff. Like sometimes I'm like, no, like my brain just doesn't want to wrap itself around that. And I really just have to like sit down and let myself get into that flow state and actually knock a bunch of things out, which it's painful in the moment, but the rest of the week then feels pretty good. So we do try and do that a bit on Sundays, actually, since that's the first day of our sprint. We try and like at least have a little burst. So that's what we call them. Just like a little burst of energy where it's like, okay, get a few things done. And then we're video game people. So like, that's kind of feels like our reward. It's like, okay, we'll get a burst of work done, and then we get to reward ourselves with playing some video game. Or just like kicking back and watching Netflix or whatever. So
yeah,
I think that's nice to try and balance ourselves out. And I think that also allows, like, helps us to make it sustainable, like really allows it to be sustainable, because it's not like, okay, we will spend all of Sunday just knocking out every single ticket. That would not make things fun. That would make this like sprints, I think, really rough. But yeah, just trying to, the key thing, and this goes with when I think about Allie sprints as well, is making sure to not let those frogs last to the last day, because they're not going to get done on the last day. They're just not. And that happens to us. We definitely roll stuff. We're not a perfect scrum team. And that's something that, you know, you have to make sure that what you're rolling can be rolled. Like, you really have to, like, be careful with your planning of that. And that's a lot of my role as the product owner at home, is making sure, like, what gets done, like what needs to get done in a certain time, if there's an actual due date on it or something, like, is actually getting done.
So what I'm hearing is, like, I hate to do the dishes, especially anything that has to be washed by hand. I'm like, we have a dishwasher. Like, why did we even buy this thing that has to be washed by hand? It doesn't even make sense. Like, what I'm hearing is, if I can convince my spouse to implement Scrum, then maybe I could pull that, like, we're a team, like, you could help me out by doing the dishes here because I'm avoiding it.
So in some ways, yes. Like, yeah. So dishes is one of those activities where it's actually something he used to primarily do. My husband was like the primary dish person. And now I participate in that activity a whole lot more than I used to. And I'm not actually sure when that occurred. I think you just made me realize it. So now it is actually much more of like a tag team activity, where if like he's unloading the dishwasher or something, like I'll be putting the stuff away, or like, mm-hmm, I'm helping with a different aspect of it. Yeah. It really has like put the tasks like on a more, I don't know, even level, where yes, there's definitely certain stuff where I always do it and he always does it, but we also know that like that support is there. And there's probably many more tasks than that I've even realized, that we've started to pick up little pieces of it to actually help each other out, and to be more of a team in those ways. But I hadn't quite realized that until you just said that.
Yeah, sneaky. Bridget, thank you so much for joining us today. This has been awesome, just to see how Scrum can be used outside of a work environment. You know, it's not just for developing software. It could really be used for anything. So thanks for sharing a portion of your life with us. It's been cool to hear.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Most definitely. And Bridget, before we let you go, can you help us find out what the Fibonacci number of the day is?
It's 13.
Dun, dun, dun. Thanks, Bridget.
13. Love it.
Bye. That's my best Bridget. Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Best Bridget. Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us in another episode of Two Scrums Up. Two Scrums Up is co-hosted by me, John Ragazine, and Ken Medley.
I want to say thank you to Kelsey Lakotis for the sick logo you designed for this podcast. And also, that awesome music you had thumping and bumping in your head, that was made by our very own Chris Montgomery.
Wow. Wow, you really went for it. That's great.
I did. Was that good?
You did. Yeah, you just okay. sort of went for it. It was like, I felt like I was like a, is this a shock jock or is this Ken?
I said thumping and bumping.
You said thumping and bump. Thumping and bumping. You're right. Special thanks to our amazing guest today, Bridget McNulty, Chief Operating Officer at Alley. Alley.co is a fully distributed web agency. You can visit us at Alley.co, cleverly enough, and drop us a line. We want to hear from you. We want your advice, and hopefully our failures can be your successes. Hope y'all have a good day.